Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
I feel like I'm walking in the desert when I see that video, like I'm on the Discovery Channel, like creeping through. Hey, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you, and wow, you braved the storm, so thank you for being here. My name's Jeremy. I'm lead pastor here at the Church of Lake Travis, and we're just super glad you're here. If you're visiting for the first time, we always like to give our guests a great big warm welcome, so let's welcome all our guests, CLT. Yeah. If you are here and you've been checking out the Church at Lake Travis for a little while, you may be wanting to know how do you connect at the church. And so what we have is a four-week process that we invite you to participate in just to help you connect with the church. And today we have Connect 1. That's during the message today. So if you're wanting to do that, you can be dismissed at this time, and we'll say thanks for doing that. And Lee will meet you out in the lobby if you are going to participate in Connect 1 today. We know that that's not going to be your first time here. Like, that might be next first Sunday in May that you'll come to Connect 1. But if you've been coming for a while and you want to know, how do I really connect with God and connect with this church, then Connect One is for you. So won't say any more about that. We did have an incredible night of prayer on Friday night. If the men that were able to participate are here in the room, if you participated in that, would you just stand to your feet and just go with, well, we got one that had knee surgery, so he can't sit on his feet. I want to say a word of thanks to these men. Because what you need to know, church, is that these men set the spiritual tone for the future of our church as a result of what they did on Friday night, spending all night in prayer on your behalf. So let's give them a great hand and say thank you. Yep. Not one of them would want recognition for what they did. However, they need it. They really are difference makers in the kingdom, and we're grateful for them. So here's what I want to do today. I want us to read from Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, we're going to read a couple of different verses and one particular story. We are talking about the Gospel of Luke, and we're looking at the good news of Jesus for everyone. And it's impactful for us in our lives, and I can't wait to share this with you today. So Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 1, we're going to see where Jesus is sending his disciples out on mission, which is consistent with what Jesus is always doing. He's always sending his followers out. He fills you up and then sends you out to make a difference in the world. So Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, if I can find it in my Bible. Luke chapter 9, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power. Everybody say power. He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. That's pretty amazing power. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, that's an important place to pause there. So they go and they begin to do this ministry that Jesus has commissioned them to do. And then they get to a desolate place with some desperate people. In verse 10, when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds who had followed them along the way, they learned about it and they followed him. Who did they follow? Jesus. He welcomed them and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God and he healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away. Get them out of here so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here. We are in a desolate place. He replied, I love this line, you give them something to eat. They answered, but Jesus, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we're going to go and buy food for all this crowd. And then parenthetically, Luke notes, oh, there was about 5,000 men there, which means if there were 5,000 men there and their families were with them, that the women and children, maybe there were 15, upward of 20,000 people. Very important, because we didn't have enough. But he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. I love that Jesus was an administrator. The disciples did so, and everybody sat down, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And this isn't a story that's probably outside of, even if you're a nominal Christian, you probably know this story. Maybe even if you are an unbeliever, you're here and you're not connected to God or the church, and you're just checking out this whole Christianity thing. I don't know. Maybe your baseball game got canceled today and you thought, oh, I guess I'll go to that church over there. I'm not sure what it is. You've probably heard the story of loaves and fishes. I mean, it's in country songs. There's all kinds of references to this. So taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And this phrase is so powerful. They all ate, but they didn't just eat. They ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the 12 basketfuls. So they started with a few fish and a few loaves, but they end up with 12 basketfuls left over. God's a God of abundance, full of broken pieces that were left over. I want to invite you to pray with me that God would speak to our hearts this morning as we unpack this beautiful story. Would you join me? Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the amazing work that you did in the New Testament. I remember one pastor I used to listen to say that we should read the red words of Jesus and pray for the power. So we ask God that you would empower your people to carry the good news of Jesus to the crowds who don't know you, who are hungry, who are in a desolate place. Holy Spirit, empower us to be your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I just want to spend a moment talking about this story, because I think it's incredibly moving to think about Jesus telling his disciples, hey, guys, you've got all you need. You've got all the power. I'm giving you authority to go out and to cast out demons. I'm giving you authority to go and heal the sick. And they go and they start to do these amazing miracles in Jesus' name. And then they get to, just a few minutes later, they get to an overwhelming obstacle. And they look at Jesus and they all of a sudden they have amnesia and they can't remember the power of God that Jesus already gave them to do the miracle. And I think it's fascinating to see this principle. I think that they get it. I think they get that when the crowds are pressing in and when the intensity's on and when there's desperate people in a desolate place, I think they understand something that we all understand, and that is that all we need for them is found in Him. All we need for this community is found in Jesus. And as we look at this story, I think that's an important principle to remember as the backdrop here, that we are a church that's about Jesus. And when we think about our lives, we think, and when I say church, I mean like church right here in this room right now, the believers in Jesus Christ who said yes to Jesus. That means that in this room, we're about Jesus, and that means that when we go out of this room, we are to be about Jesus. That we're not one way in this building and singing about how God, how great you are and how powerful the name of Jesus is, and then we go out into our office space and people wouldn't know that we just sang that on Sunday. That we're to be consistent in our lives. And so I think that's the first idea, that all we need for them is found in Him. I love this part, and we didn't read this verse. I think you can put it up on the screen. Verse 51. As the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to the cross, ultimately taken up to heaven, we're going to celebrate Easter in just a couple of days, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. You see, the context of the miracle of Jesus feeding the disciples is the context that we currently find ourselves in. We're on our way to Easter. We're on our way to Good Friday. We're on our way to Palm Sunday next Sunday. And it's on our way that we might find ourselves surrounded by the crowd in a place where we are intentional about giving them something that they desperately need. I think about this. Jesus was always leading people to Himself. He was always saying, watch what I'm going to do, but it was ultimately so that they would find their hope and purpose in Jesus. We think about this. What are we doing? What are we doing as a people to lead our friends to Jesus? What are we going to do in this season as we're on our way going through this holy season that's about to come up? Scholars call the week between Palm Sunday and Easter Holy Week, and for good reason. If you come from a liturgical background, you might know that. The idea of Palm Sunday, where they usher Jesus in on a donkey and they wave palm fronds at His name, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And then within hours, they're betraying Jesus. And they're saying, he needs to go to die a death that only criminals die. And He's unjustly tried. And He's hung on a cross. And He's buried in a tomb. And 3 days later, He rises again. That, I don't know about you, but that solicits a little bit of awe and wonder from me. That our God would send His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him wouldn't perish, but would have eternal life because of what Jesus has accomplished for us. And it's in that context, it's in that context that we find Jesus has resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And He's just done this miracle, and we're going to look at the miracle that He did in practical terms. You know, one of the things that we hear again and again from feedback is, and I never set out to do this, like when it comes to church, I think that the scripture is supposed to be lived out. It's supposed to be practical. And some of the feedback that we've gotten in the past has been, yeah, it's more like a classroom, and I get a lot of head knowledge, but I don't get a lot of foot knowledge. I don't get shoe leather on it to walk it out. So here's what we've been really trying hard to do, and that is to give you some shoe leather, some practical stuff. There will be theological underpinnings to it. There's always, we're rooted in Scripture, and so that's important, and it's important to give you some action items that you can go and try in your life on Monday or Tuesday or Friday or Saturday. So the first practical application item is that we see that we need to receive the power of God in our life. We need to receive the power of God in our life to be able to do the miracles of Jesus. You know, Lee mentioned Friday night, and I've talked about the prayer night, and we talked about that night that we need more of the Holy Spirit at work in our churches. Not just the church at Lake Travis. Like, we need to desperately cling to Jesus and the power of His Holy Spirit so much so that we can't explain what we did. I don't know about you, but I never want to be a part of a church that can roll in on a Sunday morning and unpack the trailer and do this whole church thing and not one time ever have to depend on the Holy Spirit. I would hope that you would get to a place in your life where you become so desperately dependent on the Holy Spirit that you would feel the same way about Monday morning. That you wouldn't be able to walk into an office and be like, "Yeah, I got this. I can do this. I've been doing this for 20 years. Why would I start to depend on the Lord now? I've been dependent on myself the whole time." But my prayer is that you would learn to become dependent on the Holy Spirit, because when you become dependent on the Holy Spirit, you'll get to see God move in ways that you could never even imagine. Better than what you could accomplish on your own. Receive the power of God to do miracles in Jesus' name. As I mentioned a couple of times, the setting for this is a desolate place and a desperate people. And that just sets the stage for God to do a miracle. Now, some of you might be here today and you might be in a desolate place and you might be a desperate person. And here's what the good news of Jesus is for you: is He's extending His miraculous power to you, for you to obtain all that God wants to do in your life. A few years ago, one of our kids had, we were talking about it at home. I think we were on our way from spring break, and we were talking about just reflecting on God's faithfulness to our family in the past few years. And we were talking about one of our kids. He was a pistol. Like, for all you parents who have challenging kids, maybe strong-willed or whatever, just know you're in good company. And we had one of our kids who, one time we put him to bed and he didn't want to go to bed. And we were putting him to bed and we told our kids, Ashley and I are going to go for a run together after we put you to bed. Well, he didn't like that. And so here we go, we put him to bed and he was throwing a fit and everything. We didn't, you know. So we took off and we start down the road, and we get about, I don't know, we lived over in Falconhead at the time. We were about half a mile down the road, and all of a sudden we hear this sound. And it's this little motorcycle that we had in the garage. And we're like, it's just getting closer and closer to us. And we're running along and we stop, and there's our son right there. Pistol, okay? But this was something that he had no control over, and that was at night for a season of his life. He would have these night terrors. And I don't know if you've ever seen a night terror, but it is a little bit freaky. Like, maybe like they might be possessed by a demon. You're not sure at the moment, but it, like, eyes rolling back in their head, like poltergeist kind of moments. And Ashley would be holding him and rocking him, and he would be screaming at the top of his lungs, tears coming down his face, saying, "I want my mom." Well, your mom is holding you. Honestly, that's a little bit scary, friends. And it was in that moment where we tried all kind of things in the natural. We tried to be kind and we tried to sit and hold his hand when he'd go to sleep. And we try to do all these things in the natural, trying to change his diet, trying to, you know, isn't it funny how when we need a miracle, sometimes we just want to try to take it into our own hands. And yet, about, I don't want to say 6 weeks into that, where we just kept trying it on our own, we realized, you know what, this is something we've got to battle in the spiritual realm. And we began to pray, we began to fast, we began to call on the power of God to move in his life. And it was so amazing. We just started to see. It wasn't overnight. It didn't happen all in one moment. But we began to see God do miracles in his life, and he became the most chill, calm kid we've ever had. Power of God. We need the power of God to do miracles in Jesus' name. I want the power of God to be so strong in your life that you go to prayer before you go to the Tylenol bottle for your kids. I want you to believe in the power of God so strong that you get on your face before God every day so that you say to God, "God, not my glory, but your glory." That you would be able to say all the time, "I want the power of God. I hope you want it as much as I do." Number two, practical application for us, and that is for us to do what the disciples did, and that is to meet a practical need in the name of Jesus this week. Meet a practical need in the name of Jesus this week. Now, that's a super practical thing for us to do. That means when we go to Starbucks, we might say, "Hey, I want to buy someone's cup of coffee." That means when we can't go to Chick-fil-A because Chick-fil-A is closed, but we could go to McDonald's. Well, or does anybody go to McDonald's? I don't know. I do. So we go to somewhere to eat, or maybe we're more intentional about it than just happenstance, and we actually invite someone to go to coffee with us. We meet a practical need. We look at our neighbor who maybe hasn't cut their grass in a while, and we go take our lawnmower over and we cut their grass. Or maybe we invite someone over for dinner because we know they're going through a difficult time. We meet a practical need, but we don't just meet a practical need. We meet a practical need in the name of Jesus, because all we need for them is found in him. I think this is important. A few years ago, we were on a serve weekend together as a church, and we had partnered together with all the different churches in the community, and we had all developed these different opportunities for people to go and serve. And we went to this one particular house, and this family had fallen on hard times and weren't able to keep it up. And so we were all out there cleaning up the yard, and there was a crew in the bathroom doing bathroom tile work, and we were just doing all different things. And their family, one of the brothers actually showed up at the house that day, and he was drunk. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning, but he had already had too much to drink, and he's kind of slurring his words, and he was real emotional, like crying, like, "I can't believe you guys would do this," like, you know. And we began to talk to him, and he's like, "Why are y'all doing this?" And we said, "We're doing this as a practical way to show you that God loves you." We would be remiss to go and to meet a practical need as Christ followers and to not communicate the why behind the what. we need to be able to communicate that we're doing this in the name of Jesus because we love him, because he loves us, and because he loves you. Meet a practical name, a practical need in the name of Jesus. Lee mentioned Springfest. That's a great way for us to do that, to get out in the community. You know, when parents come to the Kids Zone area, what they really want to do is buy them a little bracelet and check them in to the Kids Zone area, and then they want to go and hang out at Springfest. Well, guess who's going to take care of their kids? We are. And isn't that powerful that we can meet a practical need in the name of Jesus? And we can talk to those parents and engage them and let them know about a loving community of faith that loves this community and is investing in it and giving back. I think that's a great way for you to be involved. And then third practical thing, and this is right upon us, and that is to invite your friends, relatives, associates, neighbors, and anybody else I left off the list, and their dogs, to church for Easter so that they might experience Jesus. There is a crowd of people in this community who never go to church. There's a crowd of people who are desperate and desolate, who need the miracle of Jesus in their life. They need to experience Jesus in their life. So how are they going to ever experience Jesus in their life if we don't tell them? And so here's what we're doing, and we want you to have a practical way to engage them. And so what we've done is we've put together, is Charlie ready yet? So we're going to invite our kids and they're going to help us out. So what we've done is we've gotten these little boxes of Peeps. You know Peeps? They're the most disgusting Easter candy you can possibly eat, you know, or maybe you like them. I don't know. The marshmallow sugar-coated things. And so we're going to pass out invite cards and a box of Peeps. I want everyone to get one of these. Happy Easter, everybody. And here's your commission. Your commission is to take at least one of these and invite at least one person to Easter Sunday. I've got a gift for you. I'm going to give you a script, okay? Amazing, amazing kids. Suffer not the little children, for such is the kingdom. It's awesome. Thank you, kids. Oh, yeah, I need one of those. Thank you so much. Oh, mine's stuck. Well, I'm going to take two because it's stuck together. All right, yeah. We'll have these next week, too. So, we know that these little invite cards can sometimes get misplaced. And so we wanted to give you something that might not get as easily misplaced. And you can't leave these on the dash of your car because why? They'll melt. And so we want you to take these to a friend that you've been praying for and that you will say to them, we love you and we know you might not like Peeps, but we love Peeps. And we want you to join us. And the Peeps are saying, we'll save you a seat, okay? Can we say thanks to our kids for helping us out today? Yep. They put all these together. Kids, did y'all eat any of the Peeps? Yeah. Oh, man. That's good. That's good. Okay. So here's how I want to close out today. Because I believe there are thousands of people that are desperately in need of Jesus in this community, and you are the body of Christ that are going to be sent out to them. I want to invite my friend Lauren to come up. Lauren, where is he? Yeah, come on up. So Lauren is the microphone? Oh, you got the microphone? Okay, sweet. Y'all are all taking care of it. Come on up, man. So Lauren is a faithful, godly man who is a part of our church, and he his daughters made a beautiful still of our prayer gathering this week, and you can take a look at that. Isn't that awesome? They pictured a bunch of guys sitting around with coffee mugs, drinking coffee, and we for sure drank
pretty
lots
accurate.
Of coffee
pretty
on
accurate.
Friday night.
That's right.
and so the way you, if you didn't know, the men's prayer experience on Friday night was structured where we would spend about 10 to 15 minutes having some type of reflection time on God's word, and then we would spend the remainder of the 45-minute segment in prayer or worship or whatever. And so Lauren, they were all powerful. And Lauren was one of the powerful presentations that was shared that night. And I just thought, how perfect that God would put this in front of me on Friday night. And then I just reached out to Lauren yesterday and said, you're already prepared. Would you mind sharing an abbreviated segment of what you shared with us? Because it's so in line with us being sent out. So, Lauren, take it away, man.
Jeremy, thank you. Privilege.
Yes. Yep.
I was inspired to lead my session at Conquer the Darkness from a weakness on something that I don't do well, but I care an awful lot about. I prayed that God might inspire me and inspire us all to invite our neighbors here to CLT to learn about our great God. I don't do that well. I thought it would be a good chance to use the power of prayer to get better at that. For my job, I lead strategy at the world's leading ratings and reviews software company. Our software powers the recommendations and reviews on 7,000 websites. We power Walmart.com and Target.com. Costco and Sam's Club, Home Depot and Lowe's. And 1.3 million times a day, people write a review with our software. Being asked to leave a review is probably not uncommon, whether you're at the dentist's office or getting an email online. We know this because reviews absolutely change people's individual decision making. Having authentic reviews, and lots of them, encourages people to have the confidence to try something that's new. I've been compelled to consider how often, without fear, I recommend a television show, you know, 4 stars for that, or a piece of bicycling equipment, 5 stars for that. And yet, how infrequently I give a review or a recommendation for our great God, who I think we would all agree deserves an infinite number of stars. And did not our great God promise Abraham and Isaac in Genesis that our global family of believers would become as infinite as the stars? God is mighty to deliver on his promises. We have an infinity stars God who desires an infinity stars family here on earth. And is not our great God more worthy of my recommendation to my neighbor than another TV show, another sandwich, or a bicycle helmet? Would not my neighbor, who is not here in this room today, be better served by me, better loved by me, recommending they spend time in the Bible or spend time at our church than anything else I could recommend? Of course. My company does a great deal of research to learn why people give reviews. That's our business, so it matters to us an awful lot. And we've learned across decades, across cultures, that people give reviews for effectively 2 reasons. First, people benefit from reviews that other people left. So they believe they're paying it forward by sharing their authentic experience to help someone else. But how much have I benefited from my relationship with God? How much have I been helped by him in ways that I have seen and not seen? Is he not worthy of my review. Second, people leave reviews from a desire to share knowledge that they've developed. Right? This is the best tool for woodworking. That's the best product to clean the glass in your shower. But how much have I benefited from the eternal knowledge that's in the Bible? How good is God's word to solve our problems? Is that book not worthy of my recommendation? At my company, we have learned 94% of reviews are left when we make a direct and specific request, often an email or an app notification. You've probably received them because we send 2 billion of them per year. So by contrast, we know the number of people who will leave a review if we don't make a direct ask. It's 6%. 6% of people will say, you know what I should do today? The most important thing for me to do today, more than loving my family, more than exercising, more than getting some reading done or some housework done, I'm going to go browse HomeDepot.com to find the product page for my shower cleaner, and I'm going to write a review about it. Right? No normal human being does that. And I guess that's similar to all of us just hoping people will wake up, realize it's Easter on the calendar, and wander into the doors of our church. Right? 6%. So we know 94% of actions are taken when we directly ask. So it's on me to directly give that review and recommendation for my great God and his work in my life and his work in our community. For my talk, I looked at some data. I looked at it from the Pew Center. They're a non-religious, non-profit, well-respected think tank in Washington, D.C. And they asked adults in Texas whether they believe in God. And 93% said yes. 69% said they were absolutely certain of God's existence. Only 7% said that they did not believe in God. But I can see you thinking, like, Lakeway is not Texas, right? Let's say Lakeway is San Francisco. That'd be really terrible. Pew has city-level data for San Francisco. They don't have it for Austin, but they have it for San Francisco. 76% of San Franciscans say they believe in God. Only 24% do not. So somewhere between 76 and 93% of everybody you meet starts with a belief in God. But Texas-wide, only 42% regularly attend church. That is our gap to close. Between the 93% who have belief and all those who do not attend, who are not here with us. I believe God is preparing the hearts and the minds of our neighbors to hear our stories, our authentic reviews of our lives made better through his word and his ways. My company knows people change their decisions and they change their behavior after they hear reviews. But in my business, 94% of the time, you have to make a direct ask. Easter is coming, so I have prayed that God would prepare my heart and yours to make the direct ask. The eternal stakes for our neighbors and friends are infinitely high. And our God, he is infinity stars good. So may I, and may you, be bolder and recommend our God and his word long before we recommend another television show or taco plate.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.